Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. We praise God for this being the first show of the new year on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. This is the first show of the year for the Summit. In Jesus' name, and I'm happy to be in this new year. Amen. The new year is it's good to be in a new year. Amen. We're happy that we are able to see a brand new year in Jesus' name. In this new year, I want to say before we get started, I want to say that there are blessings that God wants to give us. New year. With those blessings, they're going to be with life come hardships, come times where we're going to have to be on our knees and pray and fast and read the word and stand on our most holy faith. So I just want to encourage you that in this new year, yes, blessings are coming in this new year for everybody. But also we're going to have to stand on our most holy faith. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about faith and the favor of God on today. And I want to start off with a scripture coming from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear." Amen. I like that first verse when it says, "Now faith." Now faith. And if we look at the word faith, we see that faith is belief. Faith is walking into something that, hey, you can't see in the natural. It might be an issue that you have. You might have got I'm just using this as an example. You might have got a bad report from the doctor, and the doctor has told you got this going on and you got that going on. And you're walking by faith that God is going to move. And this faith, this now faith, we have to have that now faith in 2023 to get to the favor of God. Everybody down through the years have talked about the favor of God and the blessings of God. But to get to that, we have to have faith. Faith unlocks the door of the favor of God. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. With faith, we can please God, which moves God to bring us favor. Amen. Our faith moves them when we act upon our faith. It's just like, for example, for acting upon your faith is, if I said, say if I have a chair, and I say that this chair can hold me up. This chair, when I sit in it, it can hold me up, and I can talk all day that this chair can hold me up. But I have not acted on what I've stated unless I sit in that chair and I exhibit that that chair can hold me up. That is acting upon faith. That is faith believing versus faith believing, and then it's faith in action. So we have to have faith believing. We have to believe in what God has said unto us. And then we must act upon what God has said unto us. In Matthew chapter 6, I believe it's verses 32-33, it said, and I think it's verse 33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We must walk in faith that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Amen. And the thing is that verse number 6 in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. It goes into Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We must seek the kingdom of God. We must seek God for whatever we need. And we must believe, faith believing that he is going to do what he said he was going to do. He said he would never leave us. He said he would never forsake us. So we have to believe, faith believing, and then we must act on our faith despite the issues, despite the circumstances, despite the problems, despite what we are, despite what's in front of us, in the what appears in front of us, the problem, the issue, we must act on what we believe. We must act on, this is faith in action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Amen. This is what we need to do. This is the key that we need to do to get to the favor of God. A whole lot of preachers preach about the favor of God. Oh, yes, the favor of God is on your life. Favor of God is on your life. But we have to show action to get to the favor of God. And we sometimes, us as people, we think, and us as, you know, being in the kingdom ministry and being in ministry, we say this, but do we really know what we're saying when we say the favor of God is on somebody's life? We have to act on what we're saying. God is not just going to drop favor. God does that. If we don't deserve it, or if we don't show that we believe that he can give us favor, he's not going to drop favor. He's not going to drop blessing. Yes, he reigns over the just and the unjust. He blesses us daily. But when you wake up in the morning, he's blessing you. When you go to bed at night, he's blessing you. When throughout the middle of the night, when you're sleeping and no harm comes to your dwelling, that's a blessing. When you have food in the refrigerator, it may not be the food that you want, but it's food in your refrigerator. It's clothes on your back, roof over your head. You got a little bit of money in the bank. You got gas in the car. That's a blessing. Amen. How is it that we can believe that God can do things that, you know, minute things, but we can't believe him for the big thing? In this year, we must believe God for the unexpected this year, because this year is going to take a year of faith, faith believing and faith in action to get to where God wants us to be in this year. Should the Lord tarry throughout all of this year? Should the Lord tarry until 2024? We can see mass results of God moving in our life if we keep the faith and if we act upon the faith that we believe in. Now, I want to go to James chapter 2 real quick. James chapter 2, verse 14. Amen. I want to go to James chapter 2, verse 14. And then I want to drop down to verse number 7. And verse 17, I'm sorry. James chapter 2, verse 14, and then drop down to verse 17. And I want you to take a look at verse 17. I want you to stay focused in on verse 17. But we're going to read 14. And it reads, "What does it profit, my brethren, thou a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" What this is saying to us is that how can a man say he has faith without the works? Faith, amen, believing, and faith in action. You got to put your faith in action. You can't just say, I could say all day that I believe something. I could say I believe that I'm going to get a new car. But until I do right financially, I gotta get my credit together. I gotta make sure that I have the means to pay the monthly payments on that new car. I gotta make sure when I go to the car place, I gotta make sure I have the down payment. There are things that I have to do to work my faith. Amen. And God will do the rest. God will do the rest. But if I sit over there and say, I believe God's going to bless me with a new car, and I don't do anything, I don't even go out and get the car. I just sit at home and say, oh, well, God's going to bless me with a car. God's going to bless me with a new car. God's going to bless me with a new car. No, he ain't just going to drop a new car in the parking lot. Up, here goes a new car. But it has to be your faith in action. It has to be faith believing and then faith in action. If you need healing today, believe. But you have to take the necessary steps. And one thing that my wife says all the time to me, when I say to my wife, when we're dealing with things in the home, I'll say, God's going to provide for us. God's going to do it. And my wife always says, yes, God will do it, but we got to do our part. We got to do our part too. And we have to do our part because it's a one-sided thing if God is doing all of the work. Now, yes, he can do all the work, and yes, he can rain down if he wants to put a car in the driveway, he can. He can have somebody give you a brand new car. He can do all that. But some things take faith in action. The healing that we need this year. There are some things that we have been told in 2022 that we're still looking for the manifestation of the blessing for. But have you put your faith in action to receive favor of God for that blessing that you need? For have you put your faith in action? A lot of people, and I use this example, when people get married, people, most people only see the wedding and the honeymoon. They don't see nothing past that. They see the wedding, they see the honeymoon, and they don't see past that. They don't see the for better or worse. They don't see the sickness and in health. Amen. So
Amen.
When we are activating our faith, we only see faith believing, and we don't see past faith believing. We say we believe, and God's going to do it, and that's it. But we have to have faith in action. We have to show God that we believe. We have to show God that we believe.
Preach.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to show God that we believe. And sometimes God wants to exercise our faith. God wants to see where your faith is. God wants to show you sometimes where your faith is. Because sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we can't even see our own faith and where our faith is because we're so blinded by problems and issues and worries and cares of this world that sometimes we lose focus on where our faith is in Him. So sometimes God sits back and says, wait a minute, I'm going to allow my son, I'm going to allow my daughter to see where their faith is in me. I'm not going to move yet. I'm going to move, but I'm not going to move yet. Until they see where their faith is in me. I want them to see themselves so that when I move, they'll be able to say, okay, Lord, work on this on my faith. Lord, I thank you for the blessing, but work on this with me. Move this out of the way of me. This is where faith has to be activated. Faith has to be, we have to believe in faith, and we have to act in faith to receive the favor of God that is on your life.
Amen.
To get the full benefit of the favor that God has on your life. Amen. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And in that chosen, many are called to have faith in Him. Many are called to have faith in Him. He called everybody to have faith in Him. Believe me. Believe. If you don't believe me for my very work. All through the Bible, He wants us to believe. But it don't just take belief. It also takes action in your belief. It's belief. That's why when it talks about in Acts 2 and 38, when it says repent, and then, well, I'll read it all together. I'm gonna read it all of it. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What this is telling us is that's faith right there. That's faith believing, and that's faith in action. To get to the favor that God has on your life. Receiving the Holy Ghost is God's favor. It's a part of God's favor. How do we know that it's a part of God's favor? If we look in verse 39, it says, this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are far off. That is the favor of God. See, favor don't just rest on you. The favor can be trickled down to your children, your children's children, your children's children's children, all down through the generations. That's why we have generational blessing. Amen. That's why the prodigal son, he had the favor of God on him, and he wanted to pass that favor onto his children. The prodigal son's father gave him his inheritance. His inheritance was in the favor of God. Because it was from his father. Amen. The favor of God lies in when God told, when God in His Word, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also." That's favor. When somebody wants to give you the desires of your heart, God wants to give you the desires of your heart, but we also have to look at the desires of our heart. Is our desires of our heart matching up with God's desires of His heart? Is our wants and our needs matching up to what God wants us to have? Or is it matching up to what our flesh wants? I told my wife the other day, I don't want to move in my flesh. I don't want this to be a flesh thing. We were discussing something about the house, and we were dealing with a problem together, and I said, I don't want to move. I don't want to move in my flesh. I want to move with the Spirit of God. And I'm going to let the Spirit of the Lord lead in this. And that issue was taken care of. Why? Because I had faith believing that God was going to do it, and I acted upon my faith by doing what God wanted me to do. I'm moving.
Amen.
In the action. My faith was in action. Believing. My faith believed that He was going to fix, work out the situation, and then I moved the way God told me to move. And I put my actions the way God wanted me to put my actions. That's why I say it's our wants and our needs, it's our wants and our needs for our life matching up to what God wants us to have. Because if it's not matched up to what God wants us to have, we don't need it anyway.
Amen.
We don't need it anyway. You might want it. You might want it, but you don't need it. And I tell my children sometimes, because they'll come in there, they'll come and say, Daddy, especially my youngest, oh my gosh, my six-year-old, every time I come in the house, did you buy me some candy? Can I get some candy? Can I? Excuse me, no. But I need some candy. No, you don't need the candy. You want the candy. You want the candy. And that's the thing that of about our lives. Some of the things that we think we need, we want it. We don't need it. And God knows we don't need it. And God tries to tell us we don't need it. And God tells us all, God, the things that we don't need, God tells us, yeah, well, you really don't need that. Daughter, you really don't need that. Son, you really don't need that. And then when we look at it, if we move the way God wants us to move, we can look back and say, well, God, well, you were right. I really didn't need that. And He blesses you with something bigger than what you wanted. I really didn't need that, God. I really didn't need that. I got this blessing right here. I really didn't need that. I thought I needed it. It looked good to me. That's where the devil tries to play with our emotions and our mind. And there's only three ways that the devil can play with your emotions and your mind. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The same way He did Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did it in three ways. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If we look at something and we want it, just because it looks, and a good example, I'll use my six-year-old again. When his brothers get something, he wants it. If he sees me eating something, he wants it. He didn't ask for it before, but he wants it now that he's seen it. And I have to tell him, you know what? You just ate. Why you want it now? You want it because you see it. You desire it now because you see it. But you don't want it, or you want it because you see it. You don't need it, though, but you want it. Amen. So when we look at the word faith and the favor of God, when we look at these two words, these two words mean a lot in our spiritual walk with Christ. It means a lot. The favor of God means a lot. Because not only does it mean favor with God, when you have favor with God, you have favor with man. When you have favor with God, he'll make your enemies your footstool.
Amen.
You'll have favor with your enemy. How do I know? Because the Bible lets us know in Psalms that he prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He'll make your enemies eat at your table. Want to come and eat at your table. This is the reason why. And he'll make people, when you have the favor of God on your life, when you have the favor of God on your life, he will have you have favor with man. That's why a whole lot of people try to be man pleasers. And we said this last night. If you listened to the show last night, Bishop Carver taught a very powerful lesson last night. And we said that if you please God, you'll be able to please man. Maybe not all men, but you'll be able to please some of them because they'll see the favor on your life. You'll be able, those people that come to you and be like, I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you because you have been a blessing unto me. That you done gain favor with them. You done please them by pleasing God. You please them by pleasing God. And the favor of God, because you please God, God will reward you with his favor.
Amen.
God will reward you with his favor. When a person starts seeing blessings after blessings after blessings, because they're doing what God has commanded them to do, they start seeing blessings on top of blessings. They're getting checks in the mail. They're getting new cars, new houses, whatever. And it's not always materialistic stuff either. I'm not just talking about materialistic stuff. You got a better prayer life. You got a better fasting life. You're reading the word more. You're seeking God that much the more. You're getting closer to him. And guess what? When you get closer to him, he's like, okay, I'm going to bless my son. I'm going to bless my daughter. My favor is going to be upon their life. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, he is my what? My refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He'll move mountains out of the way because you're under his shadow, because you're dwelling in the secret place. You're coming closer to that secret place in him. Not many people get to that secret place. But if you find yourself in that secret place with God, if you find yourself in your secret place with him, you will have so much favor on your life. And I'm not talking about favor of new houses and new cars only. I'm talking about a better walk with Christ. And there's no such thing as getting too close to God. There's no such thing. There might be a such thing as your kids getting too close. There's sometimes where me and my wife, I know my wife don't mind me saying this, but I'm the romantic type. I like holding hands and I like hugging my wife and you know all of that. And you know, growing up, I grew up in a family that you know, that gave us hugs and all that stuff. And sometimes I could be a little bit too much with my wife. She'd be like, you know what, leave me alone sometimes. You know, you don't have to hug me all the time. You ain't got to hold my hand all the time. We hold hands, but she, you know, sometimes get a little bit tired. Back up. Give me some room. Give me some space. And sometimes we do that with our children. We son, daughter, back up. Wait a minute. But that don't work that way with God. God wants you to get so close to him that he wants to be in you and you in him. He wants to feel you. And what I mean by that, he feels the very feelings of our infirmity. He knows us. And he wants us to know him. When you are intertwined with God, when you are intertwined with God, he'll be able to speak to you and you'll hear his voice so clear. And that's faith being activated. That's faith in action. When you hear his voice so clear and you move on what God has told you to do, that brings the favor of God on your life. When you get so close to him and you hear his voice so clear, that's another favor. That's another favor from God. When you're able to hear God's voice so clear and you know it's the voice of the Lord. Because there's some people that hear voices, my God, you wonder what they're hearing. You wonder what they're hearing, and they try to say it's the voice of the Lord, and you better check yourself. Better check to see if that's the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Because some of these voices that these people are hearing, Jesus Christ, good Lord. And I don't know. It might be, it's either one or three voices. Well, it's one or two. It ain't the voice of the Lord. It's either the voice of your flesh or the voice of the enemy. And somebody, Jesus. But that's the thing. We have to get so close to him that nobody can pull us away. That nobody can pluck us out of his hand. That we are so close to him that when we pray, that demons tremble. Even when you say Jesus in your prayers, that when you pray, demons got to flee. And you know what? Some people's prayers, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm about to go here. Some people's prayers in the church. I ain't talking about, and I'm not talking about the center man right now. I'm talking about the people of God. Some of these churchgoers, they praying. They praying hard. They, oh Lord, oh Jesus, good Lord, bless them, Lord, touch them, Lord. Oh my God, bless my home. And they prayers ain't nothing doing, nothing but hitting the ceiling and coming right back down. Cause God watches your life. God watches your life. He hears you. And some saints of God are ain'ts of God. God will sometimes, if you're not living right, sometimes God will mock you. It speaks it in the Bible. If a person is divining and dabbling in sin, and they 1 minute they in, the next minute they out. 1 minute they in, the next minute they out. As my former pastor used to say, Pastor Dorothy McGordon used to say, you're going in and out the window. You're going in and out the window. And when you get in trouble, you're like, Lord, if you just bless me to get out this situation, sometimes God will mock you. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he's sitting right there listening to you, and he's mocking you because you won't do what he told you to do to get out of that situation in the first place. He done told you to do this, and you done went. He done told you to go right, and you done went left. He done told you to go left and you went right. Let me put this in perspective for everybody. God goes through our life two times. You might say, well, what? God goes through our life two times? What do you mean? God goes through our life twice. Once without us and once with us. Well, how does he do that? The first time he goes through your life, you're not even thought of. You're not even born. He knows the corners of your life. He knows the turns of your life. He knows the rights and lefts, the straight and the narrows, when you're going to mess up. He knows everything about you. The second time he goes through your life, he goes through your life with you. And now that he knows what's going to happen from birth until the time you meet him, you should, as a person, want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because he knows you better than you know yourself. He created you. He's the master of creation. He's the master that stills every storm. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the bridge over troubled water. Who wouldn't want to follow a man like this? Who wouldn't want to walk in their most holy faith, believing in a man like this? And I know, I understand that there's different religions and there's different faiths and, well, there's different religions. But there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The Bible says there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism in the book of Ephesians. And we must follow this one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That one faith is the key to opening the favor of God on your life. There are many different religions. And yes, we can make anything out of a God. You can make your car out of a God. But there's only one Lord that has power over all. There's one Lord, one God, and his name is Jesus. Some people say, well, Minister Adam, or Brother Adam, how can you say that there's only one? I've tried it. I've tried it for myself, and I know. I've said this testimony before that I had a friend back when I was 9 or 10 years old, maybe a little bit older than that. And this young man was in this a different religion than I was. And he began to tell me that I was serving the wrong God. And I said, how do you know that your God is real? And I began to tell him about the age that I was. And I was a little kid. I said, I can feel him in my hands and I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. And that's what I told him. And it wasn't a cliche when I told him that, because I've been saved since the age of 9 years old. Now, have I done everything correctly? No. Have I stumbled some? Yes. I ain't going to lie. But I know what God can do in my life. And God has moved in my life. When I call on his name, he moves. When I'm in trouble, I can call up on his name and he'll answer me. Amen. But it was the faith that I had. It was the faith believing and the faith in action. I haven't even got to the scripture, but in verse 17 of James chapter 2, because we read verse 14. In James chapter 2, verse 17, it reads, Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. What does this mean? What does this mean? It means faith alone without works, faith alone without action, is dead. Your faith becomes dead when you don't show any action towards it. That's why I said faith, believing in what you know, acting on what you know. What will unlock the favor of God on your life? Amen. Now, I want to do this because there will be some people that will try to corrupt your most holy faith. There will be some people that will try to come in and interrupt your faith in God. There will be some people that will be jealous of the faith that you have in God. It was shown, for example, before I go to that scripture, it was shown with Job. Job's faith was parallel. You can match up Job's faith to anybody, but he still had faith believing, and he had faith in action. And even when his wife came against him, she said, Job, you should curse God and die. His own family came up against him. His friends came against him. Man, Brother Job, hey, look, man, and I'm paraphrasing y'all. You had to have sinned to get like this. But Job never sinned. And Job held on to his, Job held his integrity. Job held on to his faith. He didn't let the things of this world get to him. But he had the favor of God on his life. And just like I said, sometimes God will allow things to happen to show you where you are, and to also show the devil where you are. Because the devil really don't know where you are, where you stand in God. And I'm going to show you. With Job, if the devil knew how much he stood, how much Job stood with God, the devil wouldn't have never messed with him. Because it was the devil that came to God and said, God, if you move your hand, he'll curse you to your face. He really did not know how much faith Job had in God. He really didn't know. He didn't have an inkling of knowledge of how much faith Job had in God. If he did, he wouldn't have never messed with Job. He wouldn't have never messed with him. And that's the same thing with us. The devil does not know the measure of faith we have in him until we show it. Sometimes the devil works by what we say, by what we do. The devil can only use so much ammunition by what God allows him to use, just like he did with Job. Perfect example. He said, if you move your hand, he'll curse you to your face. He said, all right, devil, I'm going to allow you to touch him. You can touch his house. You can touch his wealth. You can touch all of that, but you can't touch his life. He had a limitation. He was limited. The devil was limited. He could do all. He could take everything away from it, but you can't touch his life. And there are some things in our life that we go through where God has said, you can touch this. And I know my brother's on here, Bishop Carver, and I'm gonna use you for an example, Bishop Carver. You can touch on this note of Bishop Carver's life. You can do this, you can do that, you can touch that, but you can't touch his life. You can't touch his wife's life. You can't touch his children's life. You can't touch their life. But you can take this, you can do this, you can do this. He had limitations. The devil has limitations on people's lives because God's hand is as steel. Even though he moved his hand, he didn't move his hand. Even though God the devil was saying, if you move your hand, he'll curse you to your face. He moved his hand, but he didn't move his hand. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What is the standard? The favor of God. The favor of God will step in for you if you live right. Amen. Right now, I want to get my Spirit Alive family on, and anybody that has a comment, you can give your comments right now. Amen. If anybody wants to comment at all, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Minister Togo. Yes, that is an awesome, awesome word that you have for us today about walking in faith and doing what we say we believe. Many of us have a hard time making that connection between what we believe in our mind and what we do in reality. And
right.
So God tells us, he tells us in Ephesians 6:8, he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And what this verse is saying is, whether you're a slave, whether you work for somebody, or whether you are a business owner with your own business, whatever
right.
good thing you do, you're going to receive from the Lord. The reward is going to be equal to what you do. And you can't say
right.
that you have faith and not do anything. See,
right.
and works go together. What what you do has to be in line with what you say, and what we say has to be what God says in his word. And then God says when we delight in his word, he'll give us the desires of our heart, meaning that what to want. He's going to give us the desires that he desires. And when we come into agreement with God, those things are going to come to pass. Our words are not going to fall to the ground. What we do is going to be fruitful, and God is going to get glory. And God says, as we get glory for him, we too will be glorified. So isn't that a much better place than to just settle for good enough, settle for
Amen.
What is comfortable? We have to learn to get past our comfort zone and begin trusting God and taking that step before we even see the next step, understanding that
right.
God made a promise. God made a promise that our feet are not going to fall. Our feet are going to rise up, and we just need to take the step forward so that we can see the step. But the step's not going to appear until we move, until we
right.
do. And then God says, hey, the reward is going to be the same as what you do. And if you don't do, then you're not going to see a reward. It's a powerful
right.
word, and I really appreciate you bringing forth that message today.
Thank you. I thank God, and I want to say this over the airway. I thank God for you, Bishop Carver. And he does not know this, and I'm saying this for the first time. I was dealing with a situation one time, and I was sitting here thinking about that situation, and I was sitting in my room, and all of a sudden Bishop Carver called me out of nowhere. And I didn't tell him what was going on. I didn't say anything about it. But you don't know how much your words of comfort to me, and you didn't even know the situation. And I started saying, I started talking to you about certain things and how the Lord blessed you to give me confirmation on what I needed to do. And you don't even know it, but I thank you for that. I thank you for allowing the Lord to use you in a mighty,
Amen.
Mighty way. I thank God for just, him being who he is in all of our lives. And I just wanted to say that over the air, you are one of many inspirations in my life. I have I'm very, very close with certain people in my life, and you are one of those people, in Jesus' name. I thank God for you. I think in the book of Jude, I want to get this out. In the book of Jude, and there's only one chapter in Jude, in Jude verse number 3, and I want to get this out because this is talking to the saints of God. Amen. And I want to show you how people will try to corrupt your faith. In the book of Jude, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should contend for the faith. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Verse number 4. This is where I want you to see this at. "For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." These people, we need to watch out for. Because what God once delivered unto us, that common that faith, that's why it says contend for the faith that was once delivered. What you believe in, what you have been taught, hold on to it. My pastor, one thing that I remember my former pastor saying before she made her transition from this earth into her heavenly life, she said, and she said it from the pulpit, and I remember clear as day what she said. She said, "Hold on to what I'm teaching because you're going to need it." She said, "Hold on to what I'm teaching you because you're going to need it." We need to hold on to the faith of God. We need to hold on to our most holy faith this year. We need to hold on because, yes, this year is going to be a blessed year. And, yes, we're going to see blessings. And yes, we're going to see the favor of God on our life only if we hold on to our faith. We must contend to the faith. Hold on to what God has said unto you. Hold on to that dream. Work while it is day so that dream can come to pass. The Bible says, "Work while it's day, because when night cometh, no man shall work." Hold on to your faith, because it's going to take the faith that you possess, that God has given you, to even please God, for you to even make it to glory.
Amen.
I said it last night, that we are that much closer, because we're in 2023, we are that much closer to the coming of the Lord than we were in 2022. We are. We're that much closer. And the way the world is going, I'm not, because no man know the day nor the hour when the Lord shall appear. But it won't be long. it won't be long. And we need the faith of God. We need to hold on to our faith to be able to carry us from this life into our eternal life. Why? Because we read the scripture. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
And I remember, I remember watching a speech given by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And in that speech, he said, with this faith. Now, out of that whole speech, I remember the I Have a Dream speech. I remember the last speech he gave before he was, taken out of here. But I don't remember anything from that speech that he was giving at that time that I was watching, except for the words, with this faith. That's the only thing I got out of that. And the Lord showed me, with this faith, we can move mountains. With this faith, we can grow higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. With this faith, we can speak things as not as though they were. With this faith, contend to the faith, not the faith in man. Don't put your faith in man. Don't put your faith in things. Don't put your faith in money. Don't put your faith even in yourself. Put your faith in God and watch your life blossom like it should. Because the Bible lets us know all things work together. Romans 8:28. If we put our faith in God, like we should, we'll be able to live out Romans 8:28. And that ain't even in the notes. That's just a side. That's just a little side reminder. Amen. That's a little side reminder. That if we walk in faith, hold on to our faith, we will be able to see the manifestation of God's favor on our life. We'll be able, and I'm serious when I say this, and I mean every word that I'm saying, we'll be able to live out Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 will be a lifestyle in this year. And like I said, we're going to have blessings, but with the blessings, with life comes hardship. If we didn't have hardship, we wouldn't know how good God is to us. So get ready. Because I'm not going to get on here and say, well, your life this year is just going to be a fire bed of bees, and you're going to have nothing but good things happen to you and all this stuff. Yes, you're going to have the good things happen to you. But there's also going to be some times where we're going to have to be on our knees. But we're going to have to be on our knees. And you know what? To get to the good, it's good to stay on your knees. To know how to guide through life expectations, through life's responsibilities. When we have a relationship with God, when we have good communication with God, when we have that faith in God, we will be able to get to the favor of God.
Amen.
But it's good for us to stay on our knees. Stay on your knees. Stay in the Word of God. Keep fasting. Keep worshiping. Keep giving in this year. And you wrap all of that up together, and God sees you wrapping that up all together, using all the weapons of God. See, the Bible says, the Bible lets us know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? To the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Watch those strongholds be brought down when we stand on our knees praying, when we're fasting, when we're in the Word of God. Don't you know that this Bible is a roadmap for our life? And I say it all the time. Everything you need to know about life, you'll find it in the Word of God. Because
Amen.
He is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if God is life, if he gives us the breath of life, and we, why can't we find the roadmap to life in the Word of God? Now, you can go and look in other books, and I know preachers have written books about living the best life and the grace of God and all this stuff. The best way, you ain't got to get it out of nobody's book. You ain't got to pay $5.95 for a book. You can go down on your knees.
Amen.
I'm for real. I'm being serious. You ain't got to go here. You ain't got to go to you ain't got to get no prayer cloths. You ain't got to buy no prayer cloths for $9.99. You get this prayer cloth and you use it. No. Call for the elders of the church. Know them that labor among you. If you need prayer, call for your pastor. Call for the elders of the church. Know them that labor among you. I do not have to call. Now it's good. It's good. It's good. If you know that that person is living a good, saved life, then they can pray for you. And if you want to call into the network, if you want to call into the Spirit of Our Network and get prayer, that's fine. But look, don't you waste your time with people this year. And I'm saying this year, people of God, don't you waste your time with these people over here. I'm going to give you a prophetic word if you give me this amount of money. No, get your prophetic word being on your knees. Prophesy over your own self. You got lips? Speak over your own life. You got a mouth? Speak over your own life. Tell yourself, I am blessed. You do not have to go, and there's nothing wrong with getting a prophetic word now. There's nothing wrong with it. Because all of the ministries have to work in their various places. But I hear a lot of these television evangelists, and I'm if you listen to them, if you watch them, that's whatever. You do that. I don't watch them. I don't usually watch them. Because most of the time they asking for people's money, and I know it takes money for a church to function. I know that, but most of these people are not worried about your soul. Most of these people are not worried about your soul, and I'm gonna tell you that now. And this is not in the notes. This was not in the lesson, but I'm gonna tell you this right now. There is a preacher right now that will tell you. That said, half these TV ministers will go party with them in the world. Uh-oh. 1 minute they up in the pulpit preaching, and the next minute they acting like the world. Uh-oh. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there. That wasn't a part of the list. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But let's go. I want to look at favor, and I want to show you what favor looks like. I want to show you through the Word of God what favor looks like. And this is what the favor of God looks like. There's two passages of Scripture where I want to show the favor of God. Let's go to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Psalms 23. Psalms, you can find the favor of God through the book of Psalms, everywhere in the book of Psalms. Everywhere through the book of Psalms. I know it's the book of praise, but you can find the favor of God in the book of Psalms. Amen. Let's go there real quick. Psalms 23. And it reads, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I said this earlier. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And this is the part I like right here. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
The end of that sixth verse is the stipulation of God's favor. That's the stipulation, is that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
That we dwell in the secret place. If we dwell in the house of the Lord, if we seek his face, if we seek the Lord, if we do everything we can to get closer to God, we'll be in the favor of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And David said, but I'm going to talk about my stipulation with God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. He's letting us know that if I dwell in the house of God, and look, you might say, well, are you just talking about a relationship? Are you talking about the building? I'm talking about both. You can't go one without the other. I heard somebody say, well, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And I'm not trembling when I say it either. I'm not trembling when I say it. You need both. You need to have a relationship with him, but you also need to go to his house. You need to be, if there's a church, if you are a member of a church and you call yourself the member of that church, you need to be in that building when them doors are open. Because there's favor waiting on you. There's blessings waiting on you. And it's a one-sided relationship if you don't go. Uh-oh. Well, Minister Adam, how can you say it's a one-sided relationship if I don't go to church, if I don't go to a building? Because, look, I'm gonna give you this. If I'm in a marriage, I'm married to my wife. It's a one-sided relationship if I'm the only one showing love. Or it's a one-sided relationship if she's the only one showing love in our marriage. It's a one-sided thing. And God has told us to just come to his house. Just come and fellowship with him. Just come and fellowship with him. You always want God to come to your house, but you never want to come to God's house. What kind of relationship is that? Amen. You better walk in your faith. Walk in the faith of God, so that you'll see the favor of God. Amen. I got a Psalms 121. Let's go to Psalms 121 real quick. In Jesus' name. Let's go there real quick. Psalms 121. And while we're turning to that, I'm going to ask everybody to please pray. Apostle Cook, don't mind me stopping this whole broadcast to pray for somebody. Bishop Carver, don't mind me stopping praying for somebody. Spirit Alive family, don't mind me stopping praying for this, praying for somebody, because I will stop in a heartbeat. If somebody needs prayer, I'll stop and pray for them. Y'all, I'm asking for prayer for my wife. And I will stop this whole, not just for my wife, but anybody else that needs prayer. Asking y'all to pray for my wife in Jesus' name, that the Lord touch her in her body. Amen. Psalms 121, and I'm not going to say what's going on, because it's not expedient to say what's going on, but I'm asking everybody that's listening that can pray, please pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn to Psalms 121. Psalms 121, and I might read all 8 verses depending on what the Lord wants me to do at this time. I'm going to start at verse number 1. And it reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Showing our faith in him. And David was executing his faith. He believed. And he put his faith in action by doing what he said. And this is also God's favor. He's speaking God's favor over our life. This is what God's favor does when we activate our faith. The faith and the favor of God go together. Amen. This is what it is.
Amen.
This is it in a nutshell. This is all that we have. The Word of God, and in the Word of God, we can find out everything about us. We can find out everything about life. We can find out everything that we need to know about life right here in the Word of God. If we just read it and believe what we read and act on what we read. Faith believing and faith in action. Amen. Faith believing and faith in action. This is what we need to do to be able to live life. And not just live life, but live it to the fullest. Because God wants you to live a full, prosperous life, both spiritually and naturally, because the Bible lets us know. As your soul prospers, you prosper as your soul prospers. Amen? When your soul prospers, you will prosper in the natural. A whole lot of preachers getting confused. They preach more about prospering in the natural, and so many people talk about prospering are talking about success. And there's nothing wrong with gaining natural success. There's nothing wrong with it. But when that success, when you try to just key in on that natural success or key in on those natural things and not the spiritual. When your soul is messed up, when your life in the spirit is messed up, then you have a problem. You have a problem.
Amen.
The Bible lets us know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul.
Preach.
As we come down to the closing of this, I want to say this. What would you give in exchange for your soul? That's the question today. What is so important that you would give in exchange for your soul? What would you give in exchange for your eternal life in heaven? There's nothing that I would give for my trip to heaven. I would give it all up just for me to go to heaven. If the enemy presented to me, well, I ain't even going to say that because I don't want the enemy to present me nothing. I ain't even going to say that. I'm going to be wise about that thing. But I'm going to say it like this. If family don't want to go, don't hinder me. You are not going to hinder my relationship with God. If friends don't want to go, they ain't going to hinder me. If enemies don't want to go, they ain't going to hinder me either. You will not knock me, and I'm speaking about me now. I'm speaking about my own personal life. I don't know nobody else's life. I'm not going to speak to nobody else. I'm speaking for me. I'm going to do the wise thing and speak for me. My enemies are not going to knock me off, try to get my flesh flustered up to where I try, where they want a reaction out of me. They try to get a reaction out of me, and they get the reaction that they want. No, it's not gonna fly this year. That ain't gonna fly. I'm gonna keep myself grounded in my most holy faith, believing in God. You're not gonna get that reaction out of me. My enemies are not gonna get no, because the day I try to get back at you will be the day that the Lord comes back and I miss the mark. Family ain't going to do it. Wife, children, mother, father, sister, brother, I don't care. Nieces, nephews, cousins, whoever. Saints of the Most High God, I don't care. No. You will not. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. And nothing
Amen.
Should separate you from the love of God. The Bible lets us, the Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? And it starts naming all this stuff. Shall principality, shall this separate? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing, and I want you to say that to yourself. Nothing will separate me this year from the love of God. And mean it. When you go through your tough times, when you go through those tests and trials this year, nothing will separate me from the love of God. The reason why I'm saying that is because there's a lot of people out there in the world, and I'm not just talking about the world when I say the world. There's a lot of people around the world that are in God, that are not in God, that are trying God, and as soon as a problem happens, they're ready to walk away from God. They're ready to just give it up. I done had a headache, I done had a toe ache, and now I'm just giving up. God won't heal me, so I'm going to give up. No. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Thing will separate me from the favor of God on my life. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No problem. No devil from the pit of hell. No demon from the pit of hell. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Not even my flesh will separate me from the love of God. My flesh got to come up under subjection. Tell yourself, my own self got to come, because sometimes self can get us in trouble. self can self, it ain't even got to be nobody. Self can keep us from the love of God. And when we start denying our flesh with fasting, with prayer, with reading the Word of God, when we start denying ourselves, we'll be able to deny that stuff that comes our way to try to get us flustered, to try to get us out of the will of God, and try to remove us from the love of God. We'll be able to deny that stuff. We'll be able to rebuke it and tell it to flee. Because the enemy cannot come up underneath the blood. The devil cannot come up underneath the blood. If you have been bought, sealed with that price, with the precious blood of the Lamb, the devil cannot come up underneath it. And he won't. But you got to stay under the blood. In my final words of this lesson today, stay under the blood. And that is a warning to everybody that's listening. This year, stay under the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only stay up under the blood of Jesus Christ, but those that know of God, but you don't know God, don't have a relationship with him, get a relationship with him. I don't beg nobody to do nothing. Beg you today. I beg everybody that has not taken the steps of salvation, I beg you today to repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. And I will say it again. Not in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, there is no power in Father, there is no power in Son, there is no power in Holy Ghost. That is not a name. That is a title. Those are titles. You must repent, you must be baptized in Jesus' name, and you must be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And once you do that, you can go strong on your faith. Like we said earlier, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without the Holy Ghost, it is impossible to do what God wants you to do. It's easy. It's very easy to fall up under subjection to the enemy when you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's easy to fall into sin when you don't have the Holy Ghost. But if you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you can fight off the enemy. You can fight off anything. You can tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ, through that strengtheneth me. Why? Because greater is he than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is that greater in you? That is the Holy Ghost. And that great on the inside of you will help you live this life and will help you stay connected to the faith. You will be able to contend to the faith. As it says in Jude verse number 3. You'll be able to contend to the faith. Amen.
Yeah.
And I want to leave you with this. I didn't get through all the scriptures, and that's all right. That's okay. But I want to leave you with this. Walk in your faith this year. Walk in your faith this year. You ain't heard nothing else I've said in this show, throughout all of this show. Contend to the faith so that you will see the favor of God upon your life. God bless you. I love you. I love each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the first show of the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show. For the first show of the year on the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you, Bishop Carver, for coming in, leaving your comments. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for allowing us to come to teach one more lesson. Thank you, Spirit Alive family, for your blessings of comments and concerns and everything. Everybody that's listening, have a blessed year. We already, a couple days in, but I thank God for each and every one of you. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is the station where you can be transformed. This is the Spirit Live Network right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a safe and blessed day, and go out on tomorrow and praise him with all your might and get a good word of God from the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you.